As we continue our series, Activating Our Mission, we'll be in Acts chapter 18 tonight. This is the next place that Paul is, Corinth. So you can go ahead and turn there, because that's where we'll be looking at. It was a couple years ago that a friend of Candace and mine told us about these brackets that you can get to put up on your wall. You screw them in through your drywall into a stud in your house, and you put them on two walls. And if you align them the right distance apart, you can string a hammock up inside your house. And so we got a couple of these from the store, and we put them up a couple years ago in the boys' room so that I can go and put up the hammock in the room and take a nap alongside them, or we can sit in it together and I can read them books and things like that. So we enjoy that. Now, as many of you have experienced, something that often, a stage of development that often happens in children's lives is where they get nervous or scared to be in their room alone, particularly at night when it's dark. And our boys have experienced that at different points in their lives. But there's one thing that I know that I can do that will completely set them at ease. And that's if I go into their room and put up the hammock and lay in it with them in there. Why? Because my presence with them brings them some sense of comfort and rest. And this is the reason that God, so often throughout His Word, gives us the promise, I will be with you. And we're going to see that promise again in the passage that we're going to look at tonight. And it's particularly that God gives it to us in the context of evangelism. God is going to encourage His people, and Paul specifically, to have courage in their evangelism because God is with us and God's at work. Maybe evangelism is a topic that makes you a bit nervous. You could be nervous to share the gospel with someone because you're unsure of how it's going to affect your friendship with someone. Maybe you're nervous that they're not going to choose to believe in Jesus. They're going to choose to reject what you share with them. And so it's something that you're just kind of nervous about. Well, God knows that there are various fears that go along with this topic. And some of these fears are going to be addressed in the passage that we're going to look at. But the overall statement that kind of summarizes what I want to share with you tonight is this: to take courage in your evangelism, because God is at work in and around you. So let's start off by reading the first four verses of Acts chapter 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. So Paul comes from Athens to Corinth, which is not too far a distance. You see him represented here by the arrows. Compared to much of the traveling that Paul did, it was a pretty short distance. So he settles into Corinth with a brother and sister named Aquila and Priscilla. And he begins to work with them. And while he's working with them, he starts evangelizing. And while Paul begins evangelizing, he comes across a couple of realities of evangelism. And these are things that probably he most likely knew already throughout his experience to this point, but they are particularly pointed out here in his time in Corinth. First reality, look at verses 5 and 6. It says, when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they oppressed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. So the first reality Paul faces is this. This is the first reality of evangelism that I'm drawing out of this text. And that's this, that some people that we evangelize will not believe. That's a reality that we must all face in evangelism. Some of the people that God gives us the opportunity to share the gospel with are going to choose not to believe. Now, we don't know when, or we don't know who will and who will not believe when we share the gospel. And so God tells us to take the gospel to anyone and everyone. But the reality is that some will not believe. But you know, this helps to clarify our role in evangelism as well. Because our role in evangelism is not to make people believe the gospel. Our role in evangelism is to simply share. We should never manipulate or coerce or force anyone into praying a prayer or making a decision, because that's simply not our role. The role that God's given us in evangelism is to share the good news of the gospel and to let God do the amazing work of drawing people to himself. So Paul realizes that the Jews that he's been talking to are hardening their hearts against him and against the message that he's giving them, and they're choosing not to believe. So what does he do? Look at verse 7. And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. So Paul moved to the next gospel opportunity that God would provide, which just happened to be next door. You know, it can be hard to move on from those that we're trying to share the gospel with. And the reality is there's probably people in our lives that we'll never move on from. We're going to continue to share the gospel with them as long as God will give us opportunity and as long as they will give us a listening ear. But you know, we only have so much time in a day. We only have so much energy. And so it's possible that if there are some people who are hardening their hearts to the gospel, that God may be moving us on to other opportunities that he chooses to give us. Maybe someone next door, in the next house over, or someone in the next cubicle at your work that God might want you to reach out to. So Paul goes to the house of a Gentile next door to the synagogue, and look what happens in verse 8. It says, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. So Paul goes next door, and in a great turn of events, the ruler of the synagogue, the place where he had just been rejected, ends up believing, along with many other people that Paul shared the gospel with. And so here's where we learn the second reality of evangelism that Paul experiences here in Corinth, and that is that some will believe. Hear this. If we are, as individuals and as a church family, regularly sharing the good news of the gospel with those that God has placed around us, hear this. Some of them will believe. I regularly pray this for our church family, that God will do this for us. Not just that we will share the gospel faithfully, but that God will bear fruit through that. And that we will have the joy of baptizing some of those that we share the gospel with into our church family. Now, sometimes you're just going to be someone who waters, right? You're going to give the gospel for the second time to someone or the tenth time to someone. We don't know how God will choose to work in and through us. Sometimes someone else is going to have the joy of seeing someone make the choice to choose to follow after Jesus. And that's fine, right? This isn't about us. It's not about notching evangelism successes onto our own belt. Our goal is just to share the good news. Some plant, some water, and God gives the growth. When Candace was teaching in Greenville County, she had the opportunity to begin building a friendship with a lady that she was working with. And so we started actively looking for time in our schedule for Candace to be able to spend with her. And she spent time a good bit with her, trying to share the gospel with her throughout her time working at the same school as her. Now, when God moved Candace on from teaching in Greenville County, he largely moved her and us on from that relationship. She did get to see her maybe once or twice in a year from that point on, but not much anymore. But 4 years after she stopped working at that school, this lady called Candace, and she called her to tell her that she and her daughter had just chosen to follow Jesus and that they were beginning to be active in a local church here in town. And that was so exciting to us. We didn't know how God was going to work, but what we realized was that God was at work the whole time, using Candace to water her heart with the seeds of the gospel, or with water the seeds of the gospel that were in her heart. And God brought the growth when he saw fit. Look at verses 9 and 10, and look at how God talks to Paul about this. It says, "And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, but go on speaking. And do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." So here God says it to Paul explicitly. "Paul, go on speaking the words of the gospel, because I have many people in this city who are my people." Or some of the people that you share the gospel with will believe. "Paul, listen, I'm in control. You're sharing the words of the gospel, but I'm drawing people to myself. I'm opening eyes. I'm opening people's ears to understand. I'm drawing their souls to me." This is our main reason, brothers and sisters, for courage in evangelism, because it's ultimately not up to us. Evangelism success is not the weight of that is not on us. So we're simply given wonderful news to share. The wonderful news that though we have sinned against a holy God, he sent his son so that any who trust in his sacrifice in our place and repent of their sins will be saved. We're given this news, and we get to share it with other people, and God does the amazing work of using that to draw people into his family. So let me ask you this: what opportunities has God given you? Would you have opportunity to share the gospel with someone this week if you take it? Your job is simply to speak it. Understand, it's helpful for us to understand the reality that some of the people that we share the gospel with will not believe. But the joy is knowing that some of the people that we share the gospel with will believe, because God is at work in and around you. The other thing I wanted to point out from this passage is just several practical realities of evangelism that we learn from Paul's example here. And the first one of these is that evangelism can involve both reasoning and teaching. Look at verses 4 and 11. Verse 4 says, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks." Then verse 11 says, "And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them." Notice the words he uses here. Paul reasoned, and he tried to persuade, and he taught. You know, sometimes I think we're led to believe that the only people who have arguments for why they believe what they believe are unbelievers. I don't know if you've ever heard this. Atheists use logic, and Christians have faith. That's just simply not true at all. Atheists have faith and use logic, and Christians also have faith and use logic. You know, the reality is that Christianity is a very reasonable faith. It's based on recorded history and eyewitness testimony, things that people base what they truly believe on in all areas of life, even today. So don't let anyone try to fool you into thinking that everyone, except for Christians, uses logic and reasoning. Paul reasoned, and he tried to persuade the people that he was talking to, and I think we should too as we're given opportunity. In fact, there are many examples of people who have set out trying to prove Christianity wrong, and in the course of that, as they've been exposed to the facts of Christianity, have ended up being converted to being Christians. One example of this is Lee Strobel. You may have heard of his books, The Case for Christ and The Case for Faith. Those are actually available in our bookstore if you'd be interested in reading those. Now, I do want to clarify this. Apologetics is not evangelism. It can support the work of evangelism, but making arguments for God's existence or other things like that are not evangelism itself. And God has called us to the specific work of evangelism, sharing the good news of Jesus. But reasoning and persuading do have their place. And Paul did both here in Corinth. He reasoned and tried to persuade, and he taught the gospel from God's word. By the way, if you're interested and learning more about basic apologetics, there's a helpful book in our bookstore called What's Your Worldview, written by one of my former professors at RTS named James Anderson, and it's a really helpful book. But the second practical aspect of Paul's evangelism in this passage that I wanted to point out to you is this, that Paul found time to evangelize in the midst of working a job. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, "And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath." So here's what I want to point out. Paul, when he came to Corinth, met up with Aquila and Priscilla and began working with them. He worked a job making tents, and when he had opportunity, he shared the gospel. At first, that was at the synagogue, and then when that situation wasn't working out, God moved him next door to another home of a Gentile. And the point I want to make here is this. Evangelism is the work of normal working people. Evangelism isn't the job for super Christians. Evangelism is on the job description of every single Christian. It's for people who have a full-time job. It's for people who have to sit down with their schedule and figure out when they're going to make time for this. Because the work of evangelism is worthy of that. Your family sitting down with your schedule and trying to think through when you're going to make time for this important thing that God has given us to do as believers. It's worthy of asking questions like this. Which of our neighbors don't we know yet? And what's a creative way that we could get to know them by reaching out to them? Maybe you could make cookies for them, or you could have a 4th of July celebration, or you could just try to spend more intentional time outside your house on your front lawn or taking walks around your neighborhood. Which of our neighbors don't know Jesus yet? And when could we have them into our home for a meal or dessert? What evenings do we have free this week? Let's look at our calendar for this week. And what evenings do we have free? How can we prioritize reaching out to unbelievers in the free time that we have in our schedule this week? Hey, I'll watch the kids on Saturday morning so that you can go to breakfast with your friend who needs Jesus. Or let's invite our neighbor who needs Jesus over to our house for dinner on Thursday night. And let's invite another family from our church over so that they can get to know other Christians. Should we cut something out of our schedule since we regularly have weeks with no free evenings? These are real life questions. Paul worked a job, and he made time to share the gospel as God gave him opportunity. This is a model for us. Our schedules might be different than his, but we should work no less hard at looking for time in the course of life that we have to make time for this important work that God has given for us to do as believers, to share the good news of the gospel with those that God has placed around us who need him. This is an important work, brothers and sisters. It's what God has called us to do. And may we do it with joy, because we know that some of the people that God has placed around us that we share the gospel with will believe. So let me encourage you to take courage in your evangelism, because God is at work in and around you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of the gospel. We thank you for opening up our eyes to understand and to believe what we have heard. God, would you help us to think very hard about our schedules and about how we are prioritizing this important work that you have given us to do in our lives on a weekly basis. In Jesus' name, amen.